Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Democracy. Tomorrow, millions will be executing their rights to vote for their leaders. And the question of democracy, you can't find it in the Bible, and there's a good reason for that. Democracy is mob rule. And not even a Christian mob can control its mob mentality, its mob instinct. The Christian masses lack the wisdom to govern themselves. The Christian masses. Let's forget about the Muslims, the atheists, the leftists, the liberals, the evolutionists, the socialists. The Christian masses lack the wisdom to govern themselves. Before we talk more about the election tomorrow and our democracy, let's see what we're up against in the world. Let's see. This Associated Press story of an Egyptian father was angry at having no sons, so he stabbed his seven daughters. He killed four of them. This man in Egypt, he had a fight with his wife because she bore him no daughters. She left the house at night, and then his daughters, seven daughters, were sleeping, and he murdered Samar 15, Isra 10, Fatima 8, and Zinab 7, and severely injured three other daughters. And the Associated Press that reports this story, now they did tell us, they did admit that he was a mosque prayer caller. So this murderous father, he called out the prayers in the mosques five times a day. But they don't once, in this article, seven-paragraph article, they don't once use the words Islam or Muslim, but they do manage to smear conservatives. They said that this man's home is in the most conservative part of Egypt. Isn't that something? So they managed to smear conservatives as being against women, against daughters, against women's education. They could have said this man's home is in the part of Egypt where Islamic Sharia law is most powerful, but they left that part out. So that's what we're up against. We're up against the media that takes every chance they can to undermine morality, the difference between right and wrong. And if you think, by the way, if you think Christians are able to overcome that, the distortion of our culture, think again, because we Christians are extremely susceptible to deception. In London, let me read you the lead of the article by the London Times. You know, now in London, you could have your designer jean baby. If you have a baby that has a deformity or something, you could have it killed. You figure it out. Well, here's the lead from the London Times. People with inherited forms of cancer have won the right to select embryos free from genes that might trigger the disease. The London Times has learned. All right, let me translate that for you in the vernacular in English that says, the British government now officially approves of killing handicapped human beings. That's the translation of that. The London Times says that parents have won the right to select embryos free from genetic deformities. To translate that, the British government now officially approves of killing handicapped human beings, the littlest among us. So that's what we're up against, where because Christian leaders have been willing to compromise on thou shalt not murder, right? Because that's what we're doing when we support, when we vote for, when we fund, give money to candidates who say, I have a right to nominate judges who will kill innocent children, right? When we say that, then our Christian leaders have undermined thou shalt not murder. And they've taught tens of millions of Christians never compromise on Republican Party politics. Never do that. Never, never pass up your responsibility to vote. That would be a mortal sin. Forget purgatory. It sends you straight to hell if you don't vote. So you can't compromise on Republican Party politics. But when God said, thou shalt not murder, hey, if your guy, if your chance to win, you know, make believe you're at a football game, if your chance to win means you got to support a guy who will nominate child-killing judges, well, then just do it, because you can't compromise on Republican Party politics. You could only compromise on thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. You could compromise on those. So if you have a governing official, a candidate who you support, and he actively supports destroying God's principles in those three areas out of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. George W. Bush was asked in the third debate, this is what, the 10th time he's been asked this in the past 15 years, is it your goal to overturn Roe v. Wade? And his answer is no. He says, you're asking me if I will nominate only pro-life judges, and no, I don't have a litmus test. And he doesn't. He destroyed the Texas Supreme Court with 4 out of 5 of his justices voting for the most pro-abortion decision in the history of Texas. So what else? So anyway, when America, the world's most Christian nation, has Christian leaders who will compromise on do not murder for political gain, what standing do we have? What moral high ground do we have to condemn the terrorists? We say that Saudi Arabia funds al-Qaeda. The United States, George W. Bush, funds the Palestinian Authority and Yasser Arafat. He's the father of modern terrorism. And we fund them, as Hugh Hewitt admitted on this show. I asked Hugh Hewitt, the nation's leading Christian talk show host. I asked Hugh Hewitt, Hugh, is the Palestinian Authority a terrorist sponsoring organization? Absolutely. No question. You can't. They fund terrorism. They pay for the bombs. I said, well, then our government, the Bush administration, funds the Palestinian Authority tens of millions of dollars a year. He said, oh, well, we need to do that for political reasons. Oh, so America and our Christian leaders could fund an Islamic terrorist organization for our political benefit, but other terrorists are bad terrorists. Our terrorists are acceptable. You see, when you begin to compromise on thou shalt not murder, there's no logical place where you're going to stop compromising, except on Republican Party politics. Right there, you cannot compromise. Under any circumstance, can you not go and vote for a Republican? So the National Right to Life Association, they give George W. Bush what kind of rating? What's his pro-life rating? Anybody in the studio audience know? What's what? 100% pro-life rating? Well, what do you have to do? How many pro-abortion judges do you have to nominate to get down to 99%? How many pro-aborts did Bush have to put on the Texas Supreme Court? How many times does he have to say he has a right to nominate pro-abortion judges? How many tens of millions of dollars a year have to go to Planned Parenthood under his signature before he loses his 100% pro-life rating? I don't get it. How many pro-abortion committed pro-abortion leaders does he have to appoint to high government positions before he'd lose his 100% pro-life rating? You see, the thing is, it's a lie. And human beings have a lust for victory. It's like watching a Super Bowl or the World Series, where people who have practically nothing to gain by their team winning or losing are obsessed with the game and the outcome. And they'll yell, scream, curse, bet, get drunk, fight over a game. And politics is that kind of game, where we will overlook our principles, overlook right and wrong, and fight to the death for our guy to win. And it doesn't matter who's destroyed in the process. What else do we have? We're in a war here with terrorists, and Osama bin Laden, it turns out, he said that, remember our website, terroristforcarry.com? Terroristforcarry. I call it our website because for some months we were calling for someone in our audience to put up a website, terroristforcarry.com, and now it's there. It's up there. And thank you to whichever listener did that. We appreciate it. Well, Osama bin Laden, his recorded speech, his message to America, It turns out that the first translation was mistranslated. And what he said, the mistranslation was this: your security is up to you, and any country that does not toy with our security automatically guarantees its own security. So the thought was that Osama was saying any country that doesn't move against us is okay. We won't target them. But he used an Arabic word, not the word for country, but the word for state, like a province within a country, a state like Tennessee. So he said, your security is up to you, and any state of the United States that does not toy with our security automatically guarantees its own. What he's saying is Osama bin Laden is saying that you better vote for John Kerry. That's what he's saying. Terroristsforkerry.com. And we have people in the audience who get so angry at us because for months, for years, we've pointed out that the Bush family, the women are all radically pro-abortion, and the men are pro-life primarily during the campaign season. And then they get elected and they nominate pro-abortion judges, and without a whimper, they send tens of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood. So we point that out, and our listeners get angry. They get angry at me, and they say, Bob, what are you doing? Why don't you criticize John Kerry? I criticize John Kerry to no end. He's an evil child killer. So what else do you want to know? But are we to judge those who are in the body of Christ or those who are outside? What's a bigger concern? In the Bible, does the Bible spend most of its time judging the Egyptians and the Assyrians and the Romans, or judging the Jews and the Christians? What's the focus of the Bible? Judging the unbelievers or the believers? Well, let's see. Let's make a guesstimate off the top of my head. I'd say it's 90% judging the believers and 10% the unbelievers. And so I've sinned on Bob Inyart Live. I've spent too much time condemning John Kerry and not enough condemning George W. Bush. I got to keep things in perspective. So we aired for two entire shows last week the soundtrack of Stolen Honor, the documentary about John Kerry's despicable testimony before the Senate in 1971 when he said all of our American soldiers in Vietnam, he characterized them all basically as rapists, murderers, cutting off ears, chopping off heads, poisoning food supplies, gunning down civilians. And he did that. It was slander against American forces, and that was evil. And some of our troops may have stayed in prison for months longer because of it. And so because of that, we have such a hatred against John Kerry. Okay, rightly so. But how about all the judges that George W. Bush says he has a right to nominate who support the right to kill innocent children? How about that? Compare what George W. Bush is doing to what John Kerry has done. John Kerry verbally took the side of the communist. That's pretty evil. He's a traitor. George W. Bush actually nominated judges who are pro-abortion. So democracy is mob rule, and not even a Christian mob can control its mob mentality. They want to win. They want to be the kingmakers. And the Christian masses lack the wisdom to govern themselves. That's why in the Bible, God didn't set up democracy. You know, the purpose of government is to protect minorities from the majority. That's the purpose of government. Let me say that again. The purpose of government is to protect minorities from the majority. So the government should protect minorities from the majority, not impose it upon them. Majority rule will exploit a minority. You know, in the Bible, Jesus said in Matthew 7 that the majority is evil. The majority hates God. And conservative Christians are like cheerleaders for the Republican Party. And they say, oh, if only we educate the people. If only we educate the people. What? What if you educate the people? If you get a degree from a medical school, you're not going to smoke? You ever go to the break room in a hospital? The doctors are chain smoking. You educate the people and they're just going to hate God all the more. In Rome, they were killing Christians in the Colosseum. They were feeding them to the lions and burning them on stakes for torches. And they educated the people. They put the word out that the Christians were being killed in the Colosseum. And you know what the masses did? What did the masses do? Anybody in the studio audience know? They bought tickets. Very good. They bought tickets. That's what they did. You educate the people and the masses will buy tickets to see the immorality, the injustice. It's more likely that the majority will exploit a minority than that a minority will misuse the majority. More likely. There are exceptions, but it's more likely. Democracy empowers the majority to abuse any minority, the rich, white males, Christians. Democracy is mob rule, just a little bit slower. 51% has no inherent right to compel the 49%. You know, in a democracy, certain words become almost like cuss words. Words like politics and politician, they're used as pejoratives. They're insults. If you call someone a politician, that's an insult. Even Bill Clinton was on Larry King's CNN on Larry King, and he accused his former aide, George Stephanopoulos. What's that guy's name? George Stephanopoulos? George Stephanopoulos. He accused him of being just a Washington politician. It's an insult. Under democracies, the concept of politics becomes a pejorative. The larger the committee, the more unreliable its performance. Democracy leads very poorly. The masses hear only sound bites. Like the Christians, by the millions, hear that George W. Bush is 100% pro-life. And they vote because he's 100% pro-life. And here at Bob and Eric Live, we're banging our heads against the transmitter saying, but he defends his right to nominate pro-abortion judges, and he has done so his whole career. And tens of millions of dollars go to Planned Parenthood every year through Title X funding without a whimper out of the White House. And they say, oh, well, they don't use that money for abortion. They use their other money for abortion. Oh, great. They use that money to buy the property, and they use other money to pay to kill the babies. Good. Congratulations, Republican Party. You've pulled it off again. Would you let your precinct decide your medical treatment? If you needed medical treatment and it was a decision between two grave, dangerous operations, which were you going to pick? Would you let your precinct vote on which doctor or what operation you were going to have? Of course not. And yet we're going to let the majority decide the nation's future. The masses, even the Christian masses, hear only sound bites. And that leads to disingenuous, flattering politicians who brag about the people. The American people, the voice of the people. Vox populi, vox dei. What's that? Latin? The voice of the people is the voice of God. Yeah, right. The voice of the people is crucify him, crucify him. That's the voice of the people. The people hate God. And so conservative Christians have been seduced into thinking democracy or its pathetic sibling, a republic, is somehow godly, is somehow biblical. And it's utterly worldly, and it's brought the church into the gutter. That's what democracy is doing to the church. So that the church can no longer lead by moral example because the church has been utterly corrupted. Utterly. Foreign policy is too important to be directed by amateurs applying cliches. Monetary policy, criminal justice. These things are now being directed by the masses acting on sound bites. And we Christians tell the world that America has the best system. Morally, the majority sinks to the level permitted by the government. That's what the majority does. Morally, the majority sinks to whatever level the government permits. And if the majority is the government, if it's majority rules, then nothing can stop a nation's decline. Nothing. Because before we had democracy, you know what we had? We had mostly evil monarchs throughout Europe's history, evil monarchs. And those kings, they may have killed, murdered, they may have stolen, they may have committed adultery, but you know what they didn't do? They didn't legalize adultery. They didn't legalize stealing. They didn't legalize murder. But when you give power to govern to the people, then the people say, hey, we want to murder our children too. We want to commit adultery too. We want to fornicate. We want to spend billions of dollars on pornography, which should be criminal. We want no-fault divorce. We want to take money from our wealthier neighbors and pay for our medical care and our kids' education. So thou shalt not steal. Forget that. We're the people. We're going to vote. We're going to vote to spread the money around so we could get some benefits. And our founding fathers, they knew that democracy was dangerous, but they thought they could put it in a little box. 1/6 of the federal government would be democratic, and the rest would not. And how foolish and ignorant that was. It was like thinking you could take fire into your bosom and not be burned. And as quickly as could be, the entire federal government became democratic. All right, democracy. If you think about authority, how does authority flow? Does authority flow uphill or downhill? Authority, just like water, authority flows downhill. It doesn't flow uphill. Democracy is unnatural. You know what it promotes? Rebellion and egocentrism. Millions of people who say, hey, you work for me. You got to do what I say. They say that to the leader of the country in a town hall. Hey, you're my servant. You got to obey me. What an egotistical fool. I speak to people like that, even friends. A neat guy, a friend at Starbucks, he says, Bob, they're our servants. They need to do what we tell them. And I say to my friend, there are 290 million of us who disagree as to what they should do. Can't you see how unworkable and how insane that is? Democracy produces the worst of egos and the opposite of humility. And it's divisive, where neighbors fight against neighbors and churches against churches and brother against brother. That's what democracy does. It's the most divisive forms of government. Children do not vote to give their parents authority over them. Do they? No. Authority flows downhill from God through the government to the parents, to the kids, and even the kid can kick the cat off the couch. But kids don't give authority to their parents, right? The kids don't vote as to which parent gets to put them to bed that night. The kids don't vote to tell their parents whether or not the parents could keep them from staying out all night. That's not the way it works. God's system is authority flows downhill from God through the government to parents, to children. And when people start voting to empower the government, that's a complete reversal of God's order. And then when there's too many Indian chiefs, right? The saying goes, too many chiefs, too many cooks spoil the broth. If everybody's in charge, who's going to follow? Elections, campaigns waste fortunes, hundreds of millions of dollars, and lost productivity and legal bribery, where even George W. Bush bribed the AARP this past year, because he needed the support of senior citizens to get reelected. So he bribed them by offering senior citizens $500 billion over 10 years to vote Republican, to vote Bush. And that's at a time of war when we should be especially fiscally responsible, and socialism is criminal. It violates thou shalt not steal. And we've got a $7 trillion debt as it is. And George W. Bush further socialized our economy. And he's the conservative Christian. With no thought of the issue of thou shalt not steal because hundreds of major Christian leaders have given him a pass. What if the top 10 Christian leaders in the nation, what if James Dobson and D. James Kennedy, right, the top 10 Christian leaders in America, what if they got together 6 months ago and said to George W. Bush, if you continue to nominate pro-abortion judges, we will call on Christians to refuse to vote for you. What if they would have said, you need to pledge to never again to nominate a child-killing judge? As James Dobson had apologized and written and said on the air that he repented that he had ever supported a judge who would kill innocent a politician who would kill innocent children, and he made a pledge. James Dobson, a Focus on the Family, gave a written and a spoken pledge that he would never again support a politician willing to kill a single innocent child, and James Dobson reneged on his pledge, and not one Christian leader in America called him on it. Not one said, Dr. Dobson, from your own lips, you said you'd never again do it. But it's our lust to be kingmakers, our lust for a seat at the table. It's like cheering for your team in the Super Bowl. It's like watching a tennis match and you're screaming and you don't know what's right or wrong or who's good or bad or who's a homosexual. You're just cheering for your team. So I'm going to take a call. We're almost out of time. In Denver, Colorado, David, speak your mind.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Doing well, sir.
Hey, I was just wondering, how do you propose to return this nation and this government to a nation and government based on Christian principles?
Well, by parties, political parties, it's pretty much impossible. Because take the Constitution Party, for example.
Yeah, like if everybody voted for the Constitution Party, probably John Kerry would win.
Well, the Constitution Party itself would become corrupt, and the faster than you could, you know, faster than you could say Michael Perutka.
So what should we do?
Well, I think what we have to do is to begin with to educate people that democracy is inherently evil. It's not God's plan. You know, when, to use an evil example, when Karl Marx wanted to put hundreds of millions of people into communism, he couldn't do it, but he could teach it. So he wrote about it and he taught it, and over decades, his wicked ideas were implemented. And the
Could do the same with Christianity. We could teach conservative Christianity and hopefully get the message out.
Yeah, the same thing is true. Like when some small group of Christians wanted to stop slavery, the evil form of slavery we had in America, they couldn't do it, but they fought for it.
Until finally they won.
And so the same thing with abortion, the same thing with democracy, the same thing with Christians supporting conservative Christian pro-life leaders who are pro-abortion judges. I mean, George W. Bush is pro-life and nominates pro-abortion judges. What kind of pro-life is that?
That's not pro-life.
I don't get it. I'm pro-life, and I defend my right to nominate pro-abortion judges. After all, you know, the Senate, they wouldn't vote for him if I didn't. Thank you, David. We're out of time. Hey, I got to tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a neat school. Their phone number is 303-431-5653. Over 100 staff members, Christ-centered academics. 431-5653. This is Bob Enyart.